In today's world, for a plethora of reasons, a variety of occasions, it's entirely possible for us to be in a relationship, specifically or likely a romantic relationship, and have no idea where we stand. A person might use multiple online platforms. A person might, as common for maybe some young people, is to group hang and then peel off and be in less exclusive, committed relationships. And so there comes a moment in many relationships in today's world in which the two involved in a relationship must DTR, define the relationship. And this is a moment in which we ask, are we exclusive? Are we headed somewhere? Are we Facebook official? Where is this relationship going, if anywhere? Is this casual? Is this open? DTR is a watershed threshold moment for many relationships. And I confess to you, there was a moment in which someone and myself had a DTR. We won't go there today. I would like to be married at least a little bit longer. Some in a relationship may fear having that DTR. They might fear that moment because of hesitations and suspicions regarding inequity. What if I like him more than he likes me? What if she thinks this is more than what it really is? Some might fear the moment at which we put a label on it. Others might crave it. Others might want to know where we're headed. Some might also fear it for, I thought we were here, headed this way, but you think we are there, going that way. DTR is very important. Now, for those who aren't seeking deeper relationship, they may not want to DTR. For those seeking more open relationship, may not want to DTR. For those who are hoping for a relationship headed in a direction, you might want to DTR. For those hoping and desiring a greater level of intimacy, a public service announcement, today's sermon is not about intimacy. That was for last week. If you were here last week and experienced that sermon, I'm sorry. If you weren't here last week and didn't experience a sermon about intimacy, you're welcome. For those seeking a greater level of intimacy, they may in fact like to DTR. The book of Judges ends, and the people of Israel want a king. And lack of leadership and spiritual forgetfulness have left the people of Israel wanting and waiting. Waiting for an heir. Waiting for a path forward. And then we step into 1 Samuel. Hannah, like the people of Israel, is wanting and waiting for an heir. And in the temple, I imagine, she cries out to God saying, where is this relationship going? What are the expectations of our relationship, O God? O God, let us define the relationship. And I imagine if we could gather the collective consciousness of Israel at that moment, placed in the temple in Shiloh, they might have a similar word for God. Where is this relationship going? What are the expectations of our relationship? Oh God, let us define the relationship. And with many relationships, we may do well this morning to go back to the beginning. How did the relationship begin? Our scripture describes our God as the Ancient of Days. The smartest people alive suggest that our universe is somewhere near 14 billion years old. The word in scripture for universe is the word creation. Scripture describes that our God is even beyond and before anything that we can imagine. A universe that is very old, at least, and our God is before it and beyond it. In the book of Ecclesiastes, we read that nothing is new to God. And yet, here we are today in the book of Hebrews. In the 10th chapter and in the 20th verse, we read that God is doing a new thing. Our God is ancient, and today we read our God is new. This idea of newness reverberates throughout many of the prophets of Jeremiah, of Isaiah, and Ezekiel. Our God is old and new. That's the type of God in which we enter a relationship into, the God who is both old and new. Now, Jews at the time of the writing of the book of Hebrews would not experience old and new in dualistic terms. We're watching a video series with Eva. Old is the opposite of new. Stop is the opposite of wait. Hot is the opposite of cold. Okay, the original hearers of this text would not experience old and new to be competing forces. And one of the primary moves, interpretive, exegetical moves in the book of Hebrews is known as a Jewish rabbinical strategy known as middot. Middot is a way in which rabbis would compare things. And as we enter into this new idea, Christ as the high priest, Christ as the new thing, we enter into a very specific example of Jewish comparison known as Kol Vachomer. Riveting. Are you excited? Yeah. All right, cool. The translation for Kol Vachomer is fantastic. It means how much more. And what I would like to suggest to you, friends, is that what God is desiring is an open, honest relationship. And that what God has been desiring from the beginning is not a blood sacrifice. Even in the old way, God's heart was for a broken spirit. God's heart was for that we would have a contrite heart, and that from the beginning, God has always been about a relationship, direct access with His people. It's not an old thing. It's not a new thing. It's a more thing. As Christ enters into the scene, how much more do we have access to God? It's not old. It's not new. It's more. With the person of Jesus, with the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and the resurrection of Jesus at the grave, with greater clarity, God has defined the relationship with us with more beauty, with more access, with more inclusion than ever before. Christ is the how much more. And our relationship with the divine has been defined. We may never live with the question and with the wonder of where is this relationship going? What are your intentions, O God? What are your expectations Oh God, we know specifically in the work of Christ that we have direct access to a healthy, loving relationship with the divine, much more than ever before and much more than ever imagined. And I would like to just consider with you this morning two aspects of what it's like to be in a relationship, a healthy relationship that is clearly defined with our God. First, one of the things that we'll experience is a denouement. And I would like to suggest that in a healthy, honest relationship with the divine, Christ keeps things at 100. What does this mean? Will Smith, playing a man named Hitch, is helping an individual who is awkward and shy and goofy and not so easy on the eyes, helping him chase the love of his life, Allegra Cole. Will Smith and this man who is his client cover all the details in which this person would need. What's the actor's name? I'm blanking on his name. Thank you very much. Kevin James. Will Smith is helping Kevin James become his best relational self. So they cover date etiquette. They cover which dance moves he's allowed to do and which dance moves he's not allowed to do. And they cover the strategy to land that ever important, ever elusive first kiss. And the two gentlemen practice this first kiss. Will Smith says that as she jingles her keys, as she delays on the stoop of the staircase in front of her home, Will says, this is your opportunity in which you pucker up to the love of your life, you pucker up and you lean in 90% of the way. And when you get to 90%, you stay right there. And you let her go 10%. 90% you go, 10% she goes, 90, 10. Got it? 90, and the most wonderful rule and etiquette of dating, and Kevin James lands the big one, and they live happily ever after, and now we can all celebrate 90-10. Alice and I joke about this in our own relationship. Who's going 90? Who's going 10 here? Okay. Christ goes 100. And I think our human spirit would like, I would like to just go 10%. So I could feel like I've done something in the relationship. Christ keeps it at 100. There is nothing for you to do. That's how clearly defined the relationship is now in God. James Finley, studying at the Gethsemane Monastery, came to his spiritual mentor, Thomas Merton, and confessed, I'm having difficulty connecting with God. And Thomas Merton asked him, he said, what does an apple do to ripen? And he said, I guess it just sits in the sun. All we can do is receive the light from the sun. I would love to go 10%. I'd love to go more. We can't. Christ has gone 100. Amen. Second aspect of what it's like to be in a healthy, defined relationship with the divine is attention. And there is a deep tension of being in this space. Hannah comes into the temple asking for God to provide an heir. what happens when it seems like, even though we have direct access to God's most internal heart, what happens when it seems like our prayers aren't answered? What about our anger? What about our brokenness? What about the parts of our lives in which we need help and healing and redemption? When this doesn't seem, this answer doesn't seem to come quickly, Hannah begins to make a deal. If you will provide this, God, then I will commit my son to you in such a way, which I suggest is human nature. When we experience suffering, when we experience delay, when we experience the lack of definition in a relationship, we might retreat to deal making. Friends, God has not read The Art of the Deal. God is not interested in making deals. God is interested in having a clearly defined relationship. In the largest markets in our country, Amazon has put up billboards and advertisements reading, "From zero to happy in 1 hour or less." That's how incredible and how powerful this country is. That's how instantaneous our need for satisfaction has become. We live in a world with unbridled access to the vast array of information that the world has ever known as the internet. We live in the information age. We have a microwave at home. What do we do? Though we have complete access to God, what do we do when it seems like for results to come slowly? Henry Nouwen tells the story of the Flying Robellas, a group of trapeze artists who were faithful people in telling Nouwen, he says, that the flyer is the one who leaves the bar, and the catcher's job is to receive the flyer. And says one of the most important things in our work, in the art and in the sport of trapeze work, is for the flyer not to try to catch the catcher. The flyer's job is to hang in the air and trust that the catcher will snap them out of the air. For if they look and if they reach or if they turn, the whole thing will miss. Now for us watching this, it can take mere moments. But imagine what it's like to be Hannah, to be flung into the air, waiting, hoping. And we have the promise that God will catch us. But sometimes it feels like much longer than an hour. There is a tension in a clearly emotionally healthy, spiritually healthy relationship that we have with God. And though we have complete access to the entire person and to the entire power of the divine, our God is not in a hurry. Richard Rohr says that true spirituality is not to be taught. That healthy spirituality is to be caught. The wind is blowing in Lubbock. Oh my goodness, I've never lived in such a windy place. And I can't stop the wind, even when I might like. But I can catch it. If we would just allow the wind and the breath of God to catch our sails, we can't go 10. We can't teach it and completely name it. We can only receive it. Friends, come on in. Come on into a relationship that has been clearly, lovingly, and beautifully defined in the person of Christ. Come on into a relationship in which you can't do anything except sit in the light of the sun. Come on in into a tension in which, although we have direct access with God, our God is the Ancient of Days and may not appear to be in a hurry. This thing might take a while. Come on in. Let's let the wind blow our sails. Let's pray together. God, it's awkward for us at moments. It's awkward because we're not used to being in such a healthy, clearly defined relationship. I confess to you my ego that continually tries to go 10%. I try to reject part of your gift that I might feel like I've done something. Help me to stop. Help me to sit, to be, to receive. Help us to wait patiently. Help us to proclaim you as the God of old and the God of new, and yet not force you to rush anywhere. We feel your wind blowing. We see the leaves. We see the trees. We see every sign of the wind around us. Let it catch our sails. Let us trust in you. In the name of the Creator, the Christ, and the Holy Spirit, we pray. Amen.